Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Feed Your Faith with Courtney Kopeck. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck. And today's episode, we are going to be talking about permission. Permission to give ourselves authority to eat food that we otherwise feel is bad or something we need to stay away from. And we're going to be talking about 1 Corinthians 10:23. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this scripture, but it basically says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. And I think those of you who are dealing with the food struggles can completely relate to doing something that's not very constructive right now for you and wishing that you could move beyond it. So on today's episode, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be figuring out what it is that's not so constructive and how we can move beyond it through actually using permission. So I'm really excited. This is a super important topic to get you past those food struggles. And we're just going to be getting right into it. But of course, in a few seconds, I got to take you over to some awesome announcements that I have, and then we'll start the show. Welcome to Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck, and I'm a Christian food and body image coach. I spent most of my life hating my body and feeling frustrated with food. Then God stepped in and showed me something so supernatural in His Word, it transformed my life forever. Now I have peace around food and feel comfortable in my body. I am teaching female followers of Christ all over the world how to find this exact same food freedom through a deeper faith in Jesus. Join me in fellowship here every week as I discuss biblical scriptures directed towards how to treat and love our own bodies, as well as share personal struggles and thoughts around food and body image and the role God plays in both. I also talk with other women of faith who share their personal stories and wisdom around God's grace in putting a final end to their own food and body image drama. This episode is brought to you by my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. If you're ready for some answered prayers around your food struggles and body image issues and want to start living abundantly in the life God has waiting for you, where you are truly free from binging, food restricting, and yo-yo dieting, get my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to courtneykopeck.com/sign up for free devotional. That's courtneykopeck.com/sign up for free devotional. And now let's get to the podcast. Welcome everyone to this next episode of Feed Your Faith. I'm going to be jumping a lot over some scriptures today. They're all relatively in the same chunk in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to be talking about 23. We're going to be talking about 24 and 25 and 27. Sounds like a lot, but don't get scared because it's all related. And this kind of like blew my mind when I came across this scripture. So permission is the main subject today that we're going to be talking about. And the reason that I want to talk about this is because I feel as though we don't give ourselves permission to enjoy a lot of things about life. You know, when you're battling food struggles, it becomes so consuming, so all-consuming because you're hungry and you have to eat and everyone else is eating around you. And then, of course, eating has to do with your weight and you want to exercise and you're being told you should exercise. Everything seems to be about our bodies and about food. And so it can take up like all of our energy. And if things aren't going the way that we want it to go, it really makes us have a hard time enjoying the rest of our lives, right? Like everything's great and dandy when you get on the scale and you see that you've lost weight. But if you're staying the same or you're gaining, it steals your joy. And I mean, that's really what dieting does. It completely messes us up around food and our bodies and how to enjoy life outside of those things. So one of the main things that dieting is like known for is making foods unpermissible. Telling you that you cannot eat certain things, or that you can't have certain amounts of certain things, or that you have to eat at certain times. Everything is about getting permission, allowing yourself permission to be able to eat something. And if it doesn't go along with your plan, then you don't get the permission, right? I mean, how often have you been on a diet? And, you know, I'm just going to use Weight Watchers as an example here, because I did Weight Watchers on and off for so long. And you know, they try to make it sound like it's an all-inclusive plan, like, oh, you eat whatever you want and you can still lose weight. But everything has a point system to it, right? So I remember, like, vegetables were 0 points. So I would eat as many vegetables as I possibly could. And then it would be something like cheesecake would be, I don't know how many points. I'm just going to shoot something out there. It's like 10 points for a slice of cheesecake. So I really had to think about the fact of, do I really want that cheesecake? Do I want to use up those 10 points on that cheesecake? And even when I, like, there was never a freeing feeling when I would eat the cheesecake. It wasn't like, oh yes, I'm eating this cheesecake now and it's so delicious. It was always like, okay, I'm using up 10 points here. So what am I going to end up eating the rest of the day? How much extra exercise am I going to have to do? Will I have to restrict tomorrow if I go over my points now today? It was never about just enjoying the cheesecake. And so even though it seems like I had made that slice of cheesecake permissible for me, and even though the diet had made it sound as though I could have the cheesecake, there were all these strings always attached to it. So it doesn't count. If you're not feeling 100% free to make the decision to eat a food without any shame, without any guilt, without any worry of consequences, then you're not really giving yourself permission to eat that food, right? It's like, when somebody says, well, yeah, you can go ahead and do such and such, but if you choose to do that, this is what's going to end up happening. You never really enjoy choosing to do that, right? Like, I remember being a teenager and my mom would be like, okay, well, you can stay out past midnight if you want, but when you come home, just remember tomorrow, I'm going to be giving you extra chores to do. So it'd be like, I'd be staying out past midnight and then I'd be biting my nails thinking, oh God, tomorrow I have extra chores to do. What is she going to make me do? I don't want to do them, right? Like, it made it less fun. It made it less enjoyable because there were strings attached to it. And the same thing happens with our food. So I'm going to talk a little bit about binges. We give ourselves permission to binge, right? If we didn't, we wouldn't be doing it. Anything you end up doing, there is some slight permission going on there. The thing about the binges is that they feel good for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're really in the moment with a binge. You're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about anything else. In fact, you don't want to think about those things, right? Because that might inhibit the joy of the binge. You're thinking about the present moment. What am I eating now? And what am I going to eat after this? Now, you might not be mindful in the present moment. You might not be really thinking that hard about, okay, how many chips have I had right now? How many cookies have I had right now? You know, usually when we're binging, we're standing up in front of the, you know, in front of the cabinet, or we're watching TV, or we're like scrolling through our phones. We're not really paying attention to the food that's coming in, but we are living in the moment. The moment is the binge, and that's where we want to be. So that's one of the reasons why we enjoy it. Another reason is because we finally give ourselves permission to eat whatever we want without strings really attached to it. Now, we know that there are consequences afterwards, but we don't care enough about those consequences. They don't really matter because we always have a backup plan for that, right? Which is usually to restrict. I'm not going to worry about the consequences. I'm just going to live in the present moment right now. I'm just going to eat this, you know, pan of brownies or something like that. Usually the way a binge starts is we have one piece of something that leads to wanting more. And it's never really anything like all that quote unquote healthy. You know, celery does not necessarily lead to a binge. It can, it might, but for most people, it's usually maybe eating pasta when you've been on a low carb diet, or it's eating brownies when you've been resisting sugar, or it's having that piece of birthday cake at the party you swore you weren't going to end up having. Now, why do we end up binging after just having one serving of something or one bite of something? Because we have told ourselves that we're not allowed to have it. We have made it a truth for ourselves that if we have this, we have ruined everything. All the hard work we put in that day, all the hard work we put in that week, all of it is gone. It's destroyed. We actually believe that by having one piece of cake that day, we're going to get fatter. Now, logically, we know if I eat a piece of cake today, I'm not going to gain weight from one piece of cake. I will gain weight from having 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I might gain weight from having a piece of cake every single day. It depends. I have no idea. It just depends on what else I'm eating, how much activity I'm getting in, how much sleep I'm having. But we know that in the moment, one piece of cake is not going to make us gain weight. And yet we freak out over the one piece of cake. We freak out over the one slice of pizza. We freak out over having the pasta. The reason that we freak out over it is not because of what's going on in the present moment, but the fears we have afterwards. We believe that if we have this one thing, everything will fall apart. And then we give in to everything falling apart because we believe it's already happened. Does that make sense? I know it's a little confusing, but I think if you're a binger, you're kind of on the same like wavelength as me right now. You have the slice of cake. Logically, you know the slice of cake is not going to make you fat. It's what's going to happen after the cake. What am I going to eat next? Because we have this lack of permission to just enjoy it as it is, to just have the slice of cake, love it for the fact that it's a slice of cake, and then put it away. Now, the reason that we have the freak out is because in our past experiences, we have not been able to just eat the slice of cake. We have binged from it. I want you to recognize something. The reason that you're binging from having that piece of cake, having some of those potato chips, having the pizza, whatever it is that sets you off, is not because you cannot control yourself around that food. And it is not because you are addicted to the ingredients of what is in that food. It is because somewhere down the line, you were told you were not good enough and you took it out on your food. You found comfort in your food. Some of you, it made you gain weight, and that made you feel even more unworthy, which made you binge even more, which made you diet even more. Do you see the cycle that's going on? It doesn't have anything to do with the actual food you're eating. It all has to do with you not feeling worthy, with you feeling that you need to match up to a certain ideal. Somebody told you somewhere down the line, you weren't pretty enough, you weren't thin enough, you weren't smart enough, you weren't fast enough, you weren't nice enough, you weren't talented enough, you weren't good enough in bed, you weren't a good girlfriend, you weren't a good wife, you weren't a good mother, you're not a good sister, you're not a good daughter. Somebody said all these things to you, or maybe they said just one of the things to you. I don't know, but somewhere down the line, you were made to feel less than what you really are, less than who God says you are. And you took it out on your body. You took it out on what you're eating. And now it's just muscle memory. Those binges that are happening, your brain expects them because it already knows what you're going to do because it's what you've been doing for years. In order to heal from these food issues, you have to start building new pathways. You have to start doing new behaviors to retrain your brain to work differently around the binges. You can get to a point where you're having a piece of cake and you don't have another piece of cake, not because you're restricting, but because maybe you're too full and you don't want it. Maybe it just doesn't sound good to you anymore. It is possible, you know, to have one piece of cake and then not have a second one sound good to you. But you have to figure out how to get there. And one of the main ways that you do that is by making every single food that sounds good to you permissible to eat. Giving yourself 100% authentic permission to eat it. And I know that scares the living daylights out of you because you don't know what's going to happen. Well, guess what? That's the part you leave in God's hands. I tell my clients all the time, don't worry so much in the beginning about stopping the binging. Yes, the binging is the problem. We get that. But in order to heal from the binging, you don't attack the binging right away. You don't go straight to the binging. If that worked, if just stopping yourself from binging worked, you wouldn't have a food problem anymore. You would just stop. This is a very mental thing going on here. And you have to work through all, it's like a knotted necklace. You know, you ever have one of those long, beautiful chained necklaces and you pack for a trip or something like that, or you just don't hang it up and it's in a drawer somewhere and you go to wear it and it's just in knots. And it's those teeny tiny little chains, you know, where you wish your nails were a little bit longer to be able to get the necklace undone. This is what it is to get out of food obsession. You are a chained necklace in knots. And you don't just get to throw the necklace back on and look beautiful. You have to undo the knots before the necklace is fully back restored to where it was. You don't just snap your fingers and boom, it's back to where it looked like before. You have to untangle those knots. And it starts with giving yourself permission to eat foods you are scared of. And leaving the rest in God's hands. Trusting. Maybe you will binge after you have that first piece of cake. You might. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that part. Celebrate the fact that you tried something new. Celebrate the fact that you decided to give yourself true permission to eat the brownie. Even though you didn't know what the consequences, the circumstances, the outcome was going to be. You just trusted. You have to tell your brain something different, something new. And it recognizes when you're saying, I'm giving myself permission to eat this piece of pizza. I'm going to eat this piece of pizza. Even if you just get through two bites or three bites and then you freak out and you're like, oh no, I can't do this. Your brain remembers that you tried. It remembers that. And so when you try it again, it's going to be a little bit easier. And your brain's going to be like, oh, okay, we've done this before. I'm digging it. We're trying something new. We're doing this permission angle. Let's see where this goes. It takes sometimes practice to build these new habits up, right, in your brain. But it's better than just going at that piece of cake like you always do, thinking, I shouldn't be eating this. I know what's going to happen after I have this. Oh, well, the day's been ruined. I already did everything I'm not supposed to do. I ate what I shouldn't eat. Let me just go over there and finish the rest of that lasagna. Let me have thirds now on this dinner. Oh, well, I've already had thirds. All right, let me just go eat some ice cream. And now let me just eat until I'm so full, I feel like I'm going to burst. It's building new pathways, and it starts with permission to eat food. So let's go over the Bible here. We've got everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. When you are in the middle of eating whatever that trigger food is, let's say it's Halloween candy. It's almost Halloween. I know a lot of you out there are scared of having that Halloween candy around. Some of you have probably already eaten 2-3 bags worth. let's say you take up a piece of that Halloween candy. You know you shouldn't have it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have it, but you believe you shouldn't have a piece of that candy. You believe it because you think it's going to lead to a binge. There's a part of you that's already kind of hoping that it does lead to a binge. That's why you're eating it. There's a part of us that enjoys the binge. Otherwise, we would completely let it go. There's something we get out of it, right? We don't do things unless we get some sort of fulfillment out of it. But that doesn't mean that it's beneficial, right? It doesn't mean that it's constructive. Now, you don't 100% give yourself permission to eat that first piece because there's a part of you that's feeling like, I shouldn't be eating this. I'm going to eat it, but I'm not 100% on board with it. It's usually the second, third, fourth piece where the permission finally comes in because at that point you have decided the binge is on. I'm doing it. It's happening. And you go crazy because it's like a kid in a candy store. Now you're free. That food freedom is there. That's a glimpse of food freedom right there. Eating whatever you want. Now you're eating more than what you would normally eat, more than what you want, because you believe that this is the last time it's going to happen. I'm not going to binge again after this. One last binge. Tomorrow I'm going to start over again. I'm going to be good. These are the thoughts that get us into trouble. Instead of owning the binge and being like, yep, that's right. Right now I'm binging. Not a surprise because I'm having these thoughts about not really giving myself permission to eat. I haven't had sugar in 5 days. It's no wonder I'm having 10 pieces of candy. Instead of owning it, we fight it. We dive into the binge and then we fight it after it's over by telling ourselves, comforting ourselves with the idea that this is the last time it's ever going to happen. But it's not. 2 days later, it happens again. Some of you are on a real pattern. Some of you are restricting for 2 days, binging for a day. Restricting 2 days, binging for a day. Some of you are binging every 3 days, binging every 4 days. Some of you are binging every day. Half the day you're restricting, half the day you're binging. But you're on a cycle, you're on a pattern, and you know it. And you're just holding on for dear life every single day that it's going to be a different day. But you're not trying something new. You're trying the same thing, which is to just resist. Just hold on, white knuckle it, pray that you can get your way through it, get your way through that day without really trying something different. The permission you give yourself in the midst of the binge to eat whatever you want because you've comforted yourself with the idea that you're going to restrict after it and with the idea that it's the last binge you're ever going to have is not beneficial. It is not a constructive permission. You have to start giving yourself permission on that first piece of candy. You have to start giving yourself permission on that first bite of pizza, on that first margarita and tortilla chip guacamole fest that you're out with your friends having. And it has to be real permission. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Let's talk a little bit about what the binging does for you. I hate using this word because it's such like a biblical word, but it's true. It's very gluttonous. It's very self-fulfilling. I don't want you to feel bad about that because there's so many biological factors that go on with why we end up binging. I mean, one of them, which I wasn't even made aware of until I started working with my own health coach, is that when you're restricting food, there's literally, I mean, hormones going on, sending out messages to rev up your hunger. because your body is like, where's the food? We're not getting any food. We need to get hungrier. So that's why you start feeling so ravenous once you eat after you have restricted food for a while. Like, have you ever not eaten for a day or barely eaten for a day and the next morning you wake up and you are just starving and it takes everything you possibly have not to like swallow the entire fridge? But on days when you eat normally, right, if you have those days, you wake up the next morning and you're like, whatever, think I'm hungry. Maybe you're not hungry yet, but it doesn't matter as much. It's because your body is sending out hormonal signals, ramping up your hunger. I don't want you thinking that the reason that you're binging is because you're a failure and you're sinful and you just aren't doing anything right. Those are not truths, okay? God made our bodies to survive, and in order to survive, we have to eat. So our bodies, when it feels like it's not getting what it needs for food, is going to do every single thing possible to make sure we get that food. It's another reason why we get bitchy when we don't eat, you know, because aggression helps us get more in the warrior mode. And back in the day when we were fighting for our food, we needed to be warriors in order to do that. We needed aggression. We needed to be aggressive. On the other hand, some of us start feeling really tired when we're not eating, and that's because your body's trying to conserve as much energy as it possibly can because it doesn't have food coming in. So there's all these biological things going on. So yes, gluttony is definitely a sin. Binging is definitely a sin. But understand that there are biological reasons for why it's happening, and God knows that too. And God also knows the reason why you're binging. He knows how you feel about yourself. He knows the things that people have told you, the false stories that you're choosing to put on about who you are that aren't really true. He knows all of that. And that's what the grace is for and the mercy is for. So I don't want you being obsessed with the idea that you're sinning by being gluttonous in the binge. Something that is important to look at, though, is how selfish binging makes us. And selfish in the sense that all of our energy is put on ourselves. Nothing else matters when you're in the middle of a binge. You're certainly not paying attention to anybody else. If I'm binging and someone's talking to me, I'm not really listening to them. All I'm thinking about is, oh, this food is delicious, and I just want to keep shoving more and more in my face. That's being self-centered. That's being selfish. That's filling yourself up. It's another reason why there's nothing beneficial about being in a binge, because it makes you so centered on yourself. What happens when the binge is over? Again, centered on the self, because now what do you have to do? You have to restrict. Some of you purge. And then you purge and you're so depressed, because purging actually releases, binging and purging releases a lot of serotonin, which is one of the reasons why you get so depressed afterwards. You get super high from it and then you get super low. So look at these biological things too. Don't think it's just that you're a mess. I mean, yeah, we're all a mess, but there's a lot of stuff going on there that's making us that way. So have some grace, put a little compassion on yourself for that. So Corinthians 10 talks about nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. There is your answer for how to get out of the binge. God never tells us to do something without giving us a way out, a way to do it. I just love this. I'm going to read the verse over, the whole thing over again, and then I'm going to explain to you how this works. Okay. Everything is permissible. The binge is permissible, right? You can permiss. Is that a word? Permiss? You can give yourself permission to binge, but not everything is beneficial. The binge is not beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. The behavior you can allow, but it doesn't mean that it's doing any actual good for you in your life as a Christian, as a child of God. It's not furthering God's kingdom that you just ate five bags of chips and a pie. Nobody should seek his own good. You're totally seeking your own good when you're binging. It's all about you. When you're restricting, all about you. All about you, all about you, all about you. But the good of others. There it is. You can release yourself from this self-serving behavior by seeking ways to help others. I had a client the other day where I was talking to her and she was telling me she was really nervous that she was going to have a binge that night. And I asked her why. And she said, well, my husband's coming home and I never know what kind of mood he's in. And whatever mood he's in is usually, I pick up on it and then I reflect that mood back. So I'm nervous because if he comes home in a bad mood, then I'm going to be in a bad mood and then I'm going to want to binge. So I asked her, what's something that you can do for your husband? Whatever mood he comes into the house with, don't worry about that part. That's his story. That's what he's wearing. That's what he's owning. You can't do anything about that. What you can do is how can you give? No matter what he's like, where can you give to him? Because giving regardless of somebody else's mood is so valuable in a marriage, in any kind of relationship. If we only gave when we feel like it, it doesn't really count as much. It's when we give when we don't feel like it, right? Not just to others, but to ourselves as well. Giving yourself permission to eat the chocolate candy when you don't really feel like doing that because you think you're such a dirt bag is more valuable than giving yourself permission to do it when you're loving yourself. It is. I mean, God even says, like, the prodigal son was like more valuable than the other son because he was the one that went all crazy nutso and then he came back, right? Like the crazier we are, the more amazing our healing is. So I asked her how she could handle it with her husband and she gave what she thought would be something nice for him. And it automatically started making her feel a little bit better, a little bit more in control. Because here's the thing, we aren't in control of other people's behaviors, but we are in control of our own. Emotions really have to be taken with a grain of salt. Action is so much more valuable. If I went through life based solely off how I felt, which I did for years, I was miserable. Everything was about me. I wasn't getting enough of this. Why couldn't I have that? I was never satisfied. I never felt good about anything. I was always miserable because I lived off of what my emotions were telling me was going on. And when I started living as who God says I am, which is chosen and, you know, basically like a princess and part of the kingdom and someone that he takes pride in and value in and that I was created by him, you know, like he lovingly made me. When I started living my life based solely off those facts, regardless of how I was feeling, that's where all the difference came. So I advise you, if you're in the middle of these binges, you're in the middle of restricting yourself after having a binge, or you're just restricting yourself all the time anyways, get your mind off of yourself and find a way that you can do good for someone else in your day. I don't care if it's spending five extra minutes with your kids, if it's giving your husband a quick foot rub, if it's making a meal that, you know, might take a little more time, but the family really loves, if it's calling your mother, if it's texting an old friend, whatever it is, get yourself off yourself. And you will start to see a change in yourself. Get yourself off yourself, and you will start to see a change in yourself. Stop giving permission to the things that aren't beneficial and start giving permission to the things that are. Having a piece of candy is beneficial. It is delicious. It makes us feel good, especially if it's Halloween candy. It's a throwback, man. All of a sudden, you're taken back to childhood when you have that Reese's peanut butter cup and remember how much you loved. That was your favorite candy in your Halloween bag. Food is meant to have these memories attached to it. It's meant to be enjoyed. It's an emotional experience to eat. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Things like Overeaters Anonymous is why I have a problem with them. There's a lot of great things that they say, but man, it feels like they just take the emotion out of it. You're not supposed to enjoy food. Well, if you can't eat sugar and you can't eat white flour, then how can you enjoy food? That's where the memories are. Fresh baked breads and pies on Thanksgiving and, you know, sweet potatoes covered in maple syrup with your uncle at the Thanksgiving table. I mean, you guys can all come up with your own memories around these foods. And if you're restricting yourselves from them, you're only making it worse because you're building up this biological and really spiritual need to have these foods in your life. God gives us these foods to enjoy. We're meant to be eating them, which brings me to 1 Corinthians 10:25. This is right after 24, which said, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Here comes 25. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Mind blown. Like, sometimes I feel as though the Bible was written more about how to eat food than anything else. Like, once you become a Christian, now let me tell you how to be an eater. It's really amazing, but let's face it, food plays a huge role in our lives. I mean, before Jesus, there were all these rules around food. It's everything. What do animals do? They hunt and gather. That's it. They eat all day long. That is their job. Everything they do is to build a safe home and to be fed. We're supposed to be eating. We're not supposed to be thinking so much about it. We're not supposed to be freaking out over it. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. Let's talk about that. I mean, God is telling you right there, eat that Halloween candy without raising questions of conscience. Don't question yourself around it. Just eat it. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God's got you on this. He is holding you right now. And he's holding you when you're eating that piece of Halloween candy. God knows the candy is delicious. Everything that God gives us is good. Now, we have a tendency to turn a lot of those things into bad, right? Like money in a lot of ways is a good thing. Sorry about that. My kid just came to the door. Trying to be a mother and work at the same time. So what I was saying is that, like, we tend to take things that are good and we can turn them for evil. Like, money is a good thing. You know, it's important to have money, right? But making money an idol is not okay. Having food is a good thing. It's meant for good. It's meant for our pleasure. But making food your idol is not a good thing. But this is the beautiful part. God comes in and helps you with that. If you have a spending problem, you pray for God's guidance around that. If you have a food problem, you pray for God's guidance around that. And I just want to say again, your food problem is not food. Your food problem is self-worth, right? How you view yourself. That's your problem. It's not the food. If you have a bad day, if you're not feeling that great, if you're having anxiety about family coming over or, your kid's starting school or you just joined a gym and you're not even sure if you feel like going. The next thing you know, you're eating half a pint of ice cream and some cookies. It's not the pint of ice cream and the cookies that's the problem. It's you not tuning into God enough. You not believing who you are in Christ. Raising questions of conscience. How much are you doing that around what you're eating? Think about how often we put food into two different categories, good or bad. I was good today. I only had a salad and some celery sticks. Mommy. I was bad today. Hold on a second. One day I'll be able to invest in like a podcast thingy that helps me understand how to edit. But for right now, we're just going to have to deal with the fact that my children keep coming to the door asking for me. Okay. So we're talking about consciousness around food, good or bad. If you have consciousness around your food, where you're trying to decide, should I eat this? Should I not? It's very difficult to just give yourself permission and eat it. God says, eat anything sold in the market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, some of you might argue, well, candy's not from the earth. He's talking about meat. Well, I don't think that candy all of a sudden, when it was invented, surprised God. And he was like, oh no, what about that one, you know, scripture in 10 Corinthians 25. Maybe I should have had them rewrite that to talk about eat anything sold in the meat market and the candy aisle without raising questions of conscience. I mean, he's talking about food in general. He knew that we were going to come up with processed food. He knew there was going to be a McDonald's. I'm glad there's a McDonald's. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm not a huge fan of fast food. It just like personally is not my thing. But I like the fact that there's a McDonald's. I like the fact that there's a choice out there that you can go and get some fast food quickly. My kids love a Happy Meal. When I was growing up, I used to always get annoyed because my mom wanted to go to Burger King and all they gave you there was a crown. And I wanted a toy from McDonald's, but she didn't like McDonald's because everybody's picky. Right? It's either Burger King or McDonald's. You're either a Burger King person or a McDonald's person. I am more a Burger King person, I have to say. But I go to McDonald's because it gets the toys for the kids. Like, that's a good thing. Now, I can turn that around into a bad thing and go to McDonald's every single day. Number one, that's wasting money. And number two, that's not very good for me. Right? But going every once in a while, it's great. It's family fun. There's nothing happening in the world of food today, whether it's processed, food dye, food coloring, artificial this, preservatives that, none of that stuff is surprising God. His word is eternal. And we have to take it as that. If you're following the Lord the way he asks you to follow him, you're not worrying about all those things. Jesus talks also about clean eating and how, you know, basically not to worry about clean eating, because Jesus, he says in Mark 7:19, food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then out of the body. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. So in other words, like, Jesus makes us clean. It's not the food we're eating. And that's when we start making an idol of food. We think like, oh, I'm being so healthy. I'm only eating clean. No, what you're doing is making an idol of food. You don't have to worry about food that much. because it doesn't have anything to do with you as a Christian. God, when you get to the pearly gates, is not going to say, well, Eileen, well, Trisha, well, Barbara, you guys did the best at eating clean. I cannot get over how long you refrained from having sugar and white flour. Boy, oh boy, you're taking a seat right here next to me and Jesus. That is not how it's going to go down. He doesn't care what you're eating. What he does care about is where your heart is, where your mind is. And if you are obsessed with food, you are making an idol of it, and you're not focusing enough on God. Now, I'm not saying this to make you hate yourself any more than you might already hate yourself. I'm saying this to open up your eyes, to really see clearly what is going on here with your food obsession, and to understand that God gets it. It's not complicated for him. It's complicated for you because you're only a human. You can't see the supernaturalness around it. Everything points to Jesus, even what you put in your stomach. And if you're putting too much food into your stomach, then you're not giving yourself enough of Jesus. The only thing you can do to reverse that is to start following more of what the Bible tells you. And it says right here in these scriptures, right here, stop raising questions of conscience around what you're eating. Give yourself permission to eat good food that fills you up to where you feel you're full. Not where Diana says you need to be full, not where Sam says you should be full, where you're full. If you worry that your stomach is stretched out from all the binges or the bulimia, leave that in God's hands. Rely on God to tell you when you're full. Stop trying to do all the work yourself. This is a God problem that you keep trying to own yourself. And that's why it's not going away. How do we give ourselves permission around food? Easier said than done. Well, one of the first things you can do is bring the food into your house. I know how many of you out there, oh, I can't have that. I can't have cookies in my house. I can't have crackers. I can't have ice cream. I'll eat all of it. Well, restricting yourself from it hasn't been working, has it? Because you're stopping at the market on the way home from work, picking up that bag of cookies. You're eating the candy bar in your car as you drive home, throwing the wrapper out the window so no one knows you had it. You will find a way to get this food. Stop kidding yourself. And let's get real here. What you're doing is not working. It has not worked for a long time. They say the definition of crazy is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result. Let's stop being crazy. Let's start seeing real results around our food issues. Number one, make all foods what I call legal. Legalize it. Does anybody remember that song from Cypress Hill that went, legalize it, legalize it? I don't know, you may not. It was about weed. I used to listen to it when I was a teenager. But that's what you got to do with food. You got to legalize it. You got to say, yes, I am having this. It's safe. I don't have to hide. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to be embarrassed, be in a closet somewhere with my cookie dough. Eat that cookie dough at your dinner table, in front of people. There's a concept. Let somebody see you actually eat something that you think you're not supposed to be eating and see how you feel. Yes, You're going to feel judged. You're going to feel nervous. You're going to feel worried. You might feel quote unquote fat, which by the way is not a real feeling. You can't feel fat. You can feel unworthy, right? Can't feel fat. Figure out what you're really feeling as you're eating these foods, as you're legalizing them. If you love a good breakfast Danish and you haven't had one in 7 years, I challenge you to go out and get yourself a breakfast Danish this week. Don't eat it in your car as you're driving home from the Danish shop. Bring it home, get a plate. There's a wild concept, eating something sweet and delicious on an actual plate instead of straight from the container. Put it on a plate. Sit down with it at the table. Don't sit on your couch. Don't take it upstairs to your bedroom. Don't hide in the closet or lock the bathroom door while you sit in the shower with the shower curtain closed. Sit at your table with your plate and your nice fork and eat that Danish and eat it slowly and think about how delicious it tastes. Think about how someone lovingly put their hard work into making that Danish. You know, we forget like things that we buy from the store, people have made. Somebody's hard work went into that food. Appreciate that. Eating can be a huge way of worshiping God, of saying thank you. You know, there's a reason why we pray around the dinner table, blessing the food, because it's a blessing to have the food. We're not meant to be afraid of food. We're meant to be blessed by it. And you have to let God bless you with that food, whatever that's going to end up looking like. You have to trust him to do that. And the biggest thing you have to do is get your own idea of what that blessing needs to look like out of your mind. And you're going to need to pray about that too, because this is another battle that we fight. We have an idea of how we believe things need to be solved in our lives. I think that my healing around food and my body issues needs to look like this. And so that's what we pray for. God, I pray, I just want to stop binging. I just want to stop restricting, God, please. And we say, show me what to do. What can I do? But there's a part of us that doesn't really want to know what the answer to that is, because it scares the daylights out of us. Because we have been living this path for so long, we don't know what our lives look like without this crutch. We don't trust God to put something in its place that is beautiful and powerful, because we have been living in chains around something that is so ugly and bitter for so long. We can't see past it. Guess what? You don't have to see past it to ask for it. This is where not living off of your emotions comes in, but living off of who you are as a child of God. Take ownership of that power, because it is so powerful. Don't be afraid to be powerful. Because even when you feel like you're being powerful, when you're restricting your food, you are weak and you know it. Because there's a part of you that's disgusted with yourself. True power feels enlightening. It feels beautiful. It feels pure and clean. And it comes only from God. Pray for some power. Pray that you would be able to know what God wants you to do and be brave enough to take that challenge. Pray to give your foods permission in your life. Bring in something that you normally would never have in your house because you're afraid of it. And see what God does with you. Take that leap of faith. If it's potato chips and you have to bring in one of those tiny little snack bag potato chips to start off with, go ahead and do that. If it's cake and you're afraid to bring in like the Entenmann's cake maybe, or, you know, that's what I used to always love to do was the Entenmann's cake. Pray about that fear. Let God know, yeah, I'm going to bring this cake in this house and I am scared to death over it. But God, I'm going to trust you to do a blessing here, to do something wonderful here. And watch what happens. Mommy. Watch what happens. And while we're on the subject of prayer, I am going to close in just a minute with prayer for all of you. But I want to remind you guys, I do offer a free prayer call. And I really invite you guys to take advantage of it. You can sign up for it at my website. It's just CourtneyKopeck.com. Go to prayer call. You'll see it up there on my website. You can schedule it with me. You can email me if you have any questions or you want to just schedule it through an email. It's just Courtney at CourtneyKopeck.com. I don't even know my email. Courtney at CourtneyKopeck.com. I know it's a little awkward, the idea of calling up someone who you don't know and asking for prayer, but you know, that's what's fun about it. It's a little exciting, a little dangerous, a little weird and funky, but this is always where God blesses us. He wants us to stretch out. He wants us to, like, you know, reach out to each other. We're supposed to be praying for one another. And I really want to be able to do this for you. I love doing prayer calls. They're so much fun for me. I just, you know, I had one person the other day who got off the phone with me, and then she just emailed me later and said, I feel so light and airy. Thank you so much for that. And it's not a sales call at all. It doesn't cost anything. I'm not going to be giving you any kind of pitch. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make it about that. I want to make it about the prayer. So please let me know if you want to do a prayer call. Either go to my website, CourtneyKopeck.com, or email me, Courtney at CourtneyKopeck.com. And with that, I just want to close right now in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, oh my gosh, we covered so much today. And I'm just praying that all these beautiful, gorgeous, amazing, strong women absorb everything that we spoke of today. Lord, I pray that you would give these women the ability to have permission over their food in a way that is beneficial and constructive for them. I pray that you would encourage them to take a leap of faith and bring something into their home, a food that they don't feel they can trust themselves around, and see what happens with it. I pray for grace around these women, Lord, and especially for love. They need to know their value through you. They need to know who they are in Christ. And I pray, God, that you would show that to them. Let them take their power, Lord, from Jesus living within them, and use that power to help others and to not be so self-centered around their own bodies and their own food issues. I pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thanks for joining me. Remember, if you're not already a member of my Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith, all you have to do is go to facebook.com/group/CourtneyKopeck and get the benefit of daily support from me, as well as a community with other like-minded women. And if you want to get to the other side of dieting, where you can feel relaxed around food and beautiful in your body and grow your faith with God at the same time, head over to my website, CourtneyKopeck.com, and sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. And as always, never forget, your weight is not your worth.